tonight on the Goblin's Corner.
High seas thematics.
Yar.
Yar.
That's how we roll.
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 Welcome to the Goblin's Corner. My name is Eric.
And I'm Matt.
And tonight,
high seas thematics.
Yar, we be doing high seas adventures. So, clearly, the Goblin's Corner delights in piracy.
Clearly.
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 If you've never seen a picture of our studio, I have a big pirate flag directly behind me, and we love talking about story and thematics.
Yeah.
And so tonight, what we're going to talk about is story and thematics on the high seas.
Yes. Which includes, but is not limited to,
piracy. Yes. Yeah. It's way more than piracy, and we'll get to that and show you guys how to add a little bit of that high seas adventure into your story. Yeah. But before we get to that,
we've got a question of the week.
Aye. So lay it on me, you salty dog.
So I believe we've actually already discussed what our individual pirate flags would look like.
That's true.
So clearly, I couldn't do that. So you have found an uncharted, uninhabited island.
Okay.
And you've decided to found a port city that is independent from all of the nations.
Okay. So just an independent pirate city.
Sure.
Or, I mean, you didn't specify,
it's going to be a pirate city for you. All right. So what do you name the city and what is its flag?
Oh, it's definitely going to be called Rum Gone.
Okay. Rum Gone. Sure.
Because the rum's all gone and it's going to have a flag with a skull, but the top of the skull is open and there's going to be a little bit of like a sloshing water coming out of it. Like you're drinking out of somebody's skull.
Okay. All right.
And it will be a trading town of a sort.
Sure. Sure. Like Tortuga was a trading town.
Aye, so it was. Fair Tortuga. Yes. So, yeah, that would be mine.
All right.
And I believe it'd be a whimsical place. It really would. Magical and whimsical all in one. I'd see, you know, sea shanties just could be heard as soon as you crest the wave, you know, you crest the rise, you see the island, you hear the sea shanties before you see the cannons firing. Be delightful. Except when you get hit with a cannon.
Right.
But I mean, aside from that.
Right. Sure.
And you, my good fellow?
So, for the flag, which I have pinned down.
Sure.
The flag is going to be midnight blue.
Okay.
There's going to be a rising full moon. Right, it's only going to show half of it, and okay. It's going to be halfway through.
I'm buying it so far.
Right, so like sky meets water
mm-hmm.
at midnight with a half rising full moon, with a inflamed ship silhouetted by the full moon.
Ship on fire.
Yes, against
the full moon. Okay, yes. I love everything about that. It almost begs to have the the language. If you can read this, your ship is on fire.
If you can read this, you're too close.
Yeah, if you read this, your ship is definitely on. Yeah, you're being boarded. If you can read this. So what's the name of your island?
I was thinking something in the neighborhood of Freehold or... That's a little bland, though.
Yeah, that's a go-to.
Cannon Mount.
Cannon Mount. Yes.
Because as an independent trading island, you're gonna have to be able to defend it.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So you might as well advertise. This is Cannon.
Have you been to Cannon Mount? Have you gotten shot at? There you go. Here it is. It's a jolly old port town. There's people singing sea shanties, and as you crest the rise, you see the island, you can hear the sea shanties before you see the firing of the cannons.
Yes. There we go.
Very yeah. similar to both of ours. Yeah. That's nice.
Cannon Mount.
Yeah, Cannon Mount. Have you ever fired a cannon, or perhaps you like advertising? Write to us, info@goblinscorner.com, or you can reach me, eric@goblinscorner.com, or
me, matt@goblinscorner.com.
And of course, you can find us on all the things.
In fact.
Such as the Pirate Bay. No, you can't find us on the Pirate. No, no. Don't steal, guys. Unless you don't get caught. All right, so let's talk a little bit about high seas adventure.
Let's.
So, first off, why are we doing the high seas, Matt? Aside from the fact that we obviously love pirates.
Sure.
But why would we have an entire episode devoted to not just pirates, but also something else.
Well, I personally...
And what makes High Seas Adventure different as well.
Sure. I love it. But
yeah, that's, oh, it's great.
That's a good enough reason.
It's great. First off, you should always have some kind of adventure on the high seas.
Sure.
Straight up.
But we'll start off with story variety.
Okay.
Right. You've got exploration.
Mm-hmm. So you could explore the open ocean. And to be perfectly honest, the ocean is a mystery. It has always been a mystery.
It is still a mystery to this day.
Still a mystery, man. Yeah, still stuff.
We're still finding things in there.
Pull shit out of the ocean, man. Everyone just questions their sanity and their and the nature of reality when they pull it. They're like, what is that? Who knows? It's a vampire squid. Seen those things? They're cute. Yes. So,
but have you seen the Humboldt squid?
The Humboldt squid? No.
Yes. What is that? Not cute.
Not cute?
Not cute. Yeah, instead of having the normal suckers,
mm-hmm.
they actually have hooked spikes that come out of their suckers.
Ooh, so eldritch horror. Very yes. nice. Yeah, I love that. A little Lovecraftian theme going on with that. So exploration is obviously a wonderful thing for any role-playing game.
Sure.
Think of a werewolf campaign on the high seas.
Hmm.
Think about that.
Yeah.
That'd be great. Or we've all played D&D on the... Actually, one of the more famous games that Matt and I played was a three-year-long pirate campaign on the Sea of Fallen Stars.
It's true.
Forgotten Realms. Yeah. You guys took on the Shadowvar, which was a delight.
It was a delight for me.
It was a delight for me to run, just to see you. It was just fun for me to watch you guys do ridiculous things and stump me occasionally, which was great. So exploration is fun. Trade is another thing.
Sure.
So you could have a game where you're just kind of passing stuff back and forth. Now, this could be actively engaged in trade, like...
Acquisitions Inc.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or it could just be something passive as well.
Absolutely.
Going on in the background. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah. You could be sent as, you know, new lands might be dangerous, but they might also have a wealth of new materials or, you know, interesting trade goods. So you want to send somebody who's charismatic, but also capable of taking care of themselves.
Obviously, a pirate.
Yes, obviously.
or more specifically, the adventurers in mind.
Yes.
Yeah. And also, story variety, war.
Yeah.
Just fighting on the high seas, swashbuckling and such. There's a reason why there's so many stories and movies written about this. It was exciting times, deadly times.
Yeah. And gorgeous.
And gorgeous. Beautiful. Not the war part, but the ocean.
Yeah. Speaking of gorgeous... The high seas has an unparalleled locale variety.
So multiple different types of terrain. So tropical, of course.
Sure. We're
talking about Pirates of the Caribbean.
Right.
But we also have...
If you go south from Pirates of the Caribbean, you've got subarctic. Or yeah. If you go very far north, you've got Arctic waters.
That's true. There's islands, there's shores, there's fjords in some ways. Vikings yeah. also.
Sure.
A different type of pirate.
But a pirate nonetheless.
But pirates nonetheless.
In fact, you could actually say pirates are Vikings, not the other
Maybe
way
original
around.
Pirates?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd get down with that. So if you're looking to expand your terrain, and if you've listened to this show, you've probably listened to a couple of the terrain series we've talked about. This is a great idea in transition to describe or even adventure in different places.
Sure.
A lot of different subcategories and such.
Absolutely. It is a way that you can go directly from a temperate campaign to a desert campaign, finish whatever leg of your desert campaign directly to the Arctic. Right.
Go right back to the Caribbean all in one game.
Yeah.
And that's just a couple. There's also all kinds of mystical places. Why not take your ship into the air?
Yeah.
It's high seas adventure. To go into the air as well. You know, you might do a little steampunk action going on with that.
Sure.
You might go to other realms, different waters and different dimensions. Totally happens. Certainly happened in our game.
Yep. You could accidentally sail into the plane of water.
That is 100% true. Or Oceanus.
Yep.
Or the River Styx.
Just don't fall out of it.
Yeah, just don't get splashed with that water, man. It's bad times. Forget you're a pirate. Speaking of which, you can always just play to be a pirate.
Yeah.
And that's
play a pirate campaign.
Always fun to have a pirate campaign. If you've never played a pirate campaign, hit us up. We'll give you more than an hour's worth of episode and tips on how to play Pirates or how to do it right, depending upon the flavor of Pirate you want to be, which, by the way, we'll get into.
And let's say, for whatever reason, you hate Pirates.
Well, that's fine, too.
Then you can play a Pirate hunting campaign.
Yes.
You could be the good and lawful side of things.
And that's also a lot of fun to play.
Sure. A pirate hunting campaign is literally a pirate campaign with all of the legalities and niceties on your side.
Yes.
That is the only difference.
Now, why else would you play a high seas adventure? Swashbuckling, of course, but the aesthetic.
Yeah.
There is something romanticized about the open ocean and sailing the seas.
It's true.
And whether you're going whimsy like me, or in some games, very bloody realistic and, you know, dying of scurvy.
Sure.
You're playing like a grimdark campaign or something like that. You can take it to either extreme. Sometimes in the same game, you can have both. And so it gives you almost like a dial you can kind of turn up and down for if you need some comic relief, take it on the high seas. You want a little bit of realism, get them shipwrecked on the high seas.
Sure. Right?
Both of those are in the same game. And it's really just the thematics of the ocean that work.
Absolutely. And for those people who really think about current politics and situations in their gaming, pirates were the least ableist group of people in history. They didn't care if you were missing an eye. They didn't care if you were missing a leg. They didn't care if you were missing a hand.
Some would say it was required.
Right. If you're deaf, dope. Hop on the cannons. Right. Like, literally, if you were capable of accomplishing something, literally anything.
That the man be having four peg legs, but he can beat a man to death.
Right.
Like, I mean, they don't care.
Yep. They are. They recognize the use in everybody.
Now, obviously, we've romanticized pirates, and the realistic pirates were a lot more vicious and bloody and all that stuff. But fuck all that. We're playing a game, guys.
Sure.
Like, go to the romanticized style, unless playing realism is your thing. I personally look to play pirates to escape. So
sure.
But it's up to you.
And little column again, A, little column B.
Little column B, guys. So have some fun with that. Speaking of which, how can we maybe spruce a game on the high seas up a little bit?
Well,
clearly,
you need theatrics.
Theatrics? And my goodness. Like, atmosphere. What type of theatrics, Matt?
Well, I mean, you can dress up.
You absolutely can dress like a pirate for a pirate campaign.
And that is a very low cost of entry costume.
Yeah. I mean, as you can see, we're both wearing pirate costumes. If you're listening to it, you're not seeing it, but it's we'll true. Post pictures on the site or something.
Sure. Now, your jacket's a little on the fancy side, but
it is very fancy jacket, and that's because I bought it online. It's also very hot because it's made of polyester.
Fantastic.
Yeah, so
in true pirate fashion.
And in true pirate fashion, I will start sweating profusely probably before the end of this episode because of it. But yeah, dress up if you like. There's lots of other things. Obviously, lighting, music.
Sure.
I mean, there's plenty of lists on Spotify, guys, for pirate songs.
If you can't find pirate shanties in today's world,
man, sea shanties are all the rage. Are you kidding? Everybody on TikTok's doing a sea shanty.
Sure.
So you could literally just find them anywhere.
I would also like you to consider
drinking
rum.
Yes.
Rum.
Consider the rum, folks, because there's nothing that says high seas adventure like a couple of shots of rum.
Right. You could also just not take a shower a couple of days before you play.
I would not recommend that. But if you're going for the realistic role-playing game, or you're doing some LARPing, perhaps.
Sure.
Then, yeah, sure. Roll around the dirt. Don't bathe for a day or two. Smell like the open ocean. Throw a fish out in the sun or something like that. You know.
Yeah, just.
I personally wouldn't do that. I like people who shower, but. Right.
But.
You could wear Bay Rum cologne.
If you're hosting. Sure. If you're hosting, you could just open a can of tuna fish out in the front yard so that you can smell the salt air.
Yeah, smell the open ocean. The cats be coming from miles around.
Oh, that's true. In our neighborhood.
Yeah, they'd just be.
That would not even, it wouldn't have time to stink.
It's like sharks and blood in the water. They would just be at your house trying to get, they'd find a way in.
We have 1,000 feral cats in
That's
our neighborhood.
True. It's terrible.
They're all actually really sweet.
But like, they're feral.
They recognize human beings yeah. as sources of food.
Bite your head off, man. So seriously, what we're trying to say, if you're going to have a high seas adventure, have some fun with it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Go with the high adventure part. Like, make this an event. We've talked about this before in previous episodes, but I'm really saying it this time. Like, have some fun.
Yeah. Get silly. If somebody doesn't do some swinging from the rigging and just swan diving out of the crow's nest or what have, are you even really playing on the ocean?
That's a good point. Yeah. So enjoy setting the scene, setting the stage, get descriptive with it. And speaking of descriptions, this brings us to our next part of the discussion.
That's true.
So storytelling.
Right. We're going to do some methods and some narrative development.
Now, this isn't everything under the sun, but these are a couple things that we personally think work really well with a high seas adventure campaign.
It's true.
What are you laughing at?
My brain just, you know, being my brain like it does. I got a picture of someone literally just like
swinging in their room.
Yes.
You have a bunch of people over. There's like a, they have to have a big chandelier, obviously.
Clearly.
You can't swing from the fans in our house.
No. In either of our houses.
No, that would really suck.
I'm too tall to swing from the fans in almost any house.
And I know exactly how that's held together. So that would be very, very poor. I mean, maybe if they're 20 pounds, but no, even my cats wouldn't be able to swing from that. Let's be honest. So how can we do some fun storytelling mechanics or maybe some narrative development to begin a high seas adventure, Matt?
Well, to start off with, you have to decide on how you're going to tell your story.
Okay. What do you mean by that? What do you mean how?
Okay. So if it has pirates, are they pirates? Yarr, right? We're doing shanties and all of that.
Whimsical pirates.
Right. Or is it pirates, arg, where they're literally kidnapping people and
bloodthirsty killers.
Yep. Right.
Now this comes to, as we all know, a session zero with your players and ask them what kind of adventure themes do you want to talk about? Because they might be thinking funny har har and you're thinking some grim tooth, you know, make them walk, you know, walk the plank to Davy Jones' locker.
Sure.
And that may not be some, you know, look, pirates weren't nice people. They were criminals.
Yeah.
They were hired criminals in many times.
No, those were privateers.
Privateers. Well, they're kind of the same, really. At least in my
head. Whether or not they had a piece of paper.
Yeah, that's
literally
much
the difference.
Right? They might have had fancy. They might have had, you know, royal clothes or something like that.
Right.
Yeah. So, session zero that, because people might have different ideas as to what they're playing. Now, if you're going to play bloodthirsty, mean pirates, specify parts that you believe are part of the story. Ask your players what they're comfortable with.
Right. There are a lot of things that are not okay in a pirate campaign.
There's lots of things that are not okay in any game. And sure. I don't care how bad you're playing.
Oh, I just mean, you know, the tendency of such things to occur in a pirate setting are much higher.
Oh, yes.
So.
Yeah. So talk that over with your players.
Yes.
Let's talk a little bit about life amongst the open waves. So let's say you've got a campaign, you want to introduce some high seas adventure into that campaign.
Sure.
Easiest way to do that, start small.
Yeah.
So maybe they're just on a boat ride, like a 3-hour tour.
Yeah.
A 3-hour tour. Or they could be working on a ship, or even just riding on an ocean-going vessel of some sort.
They got book passage.
Yeah. So you could start it off as transversing from one place to the next. And then if people are interested in that, you might diverge into a side quest or make that part of the campaign if that's what it becomes.
Absolutely. And it depends on whether or not you are making a high seas portion of a game.
Yes.
Or a high seas game.
Yeah. And not to beat the metaphor too much, let them dip their toes in the water a bit, see what bites.
Sure.
And then if they're interested, then you can go fishing for more. But that's the best way to kind of introduce. Now, if you're playing the first idea that we talked about in terms of, hey, having a session zero, going full piracy, then guess what? They're going to want to do a high seas adventure.
Yeah.
You notice I said piracy and not high seas adventure.
Sure.
That's just how my brain works.
Yep.
So another idea, and this is getting into the middle of the story when you start, is maybe you can make them all be deckhands or swabbies or some, or whatnot.
Sure.
So you start them off working on a pirate ship, which I believe we did for your, our campaign.
We did, yes.
And at that point, you can move them up. Move them up in the ranks.
Or, if you're us, you can just...
take over the ship.
No, we took over. We took a ship. Not the one we were working
That's
on.
That's true, because you actually liked your boss.
Yeah.
Yeah. Captain was a really nice guy.
Yeah, we didn't have a problem with him.
He was a very whimsical pirate. That's why.
Indeed.
So, at that point, then you can scale it up as they gain levels, or if they gain experience, depending upon your game. Maybe they own a fleet of ships. Or
it's true. An admiral.
Yeah, an admiral or a pirate nation at some point, you know, to scale it up.
Could do the. There was a Chinese pirate in history that had a flotilla that were actually all connected, and it was a giant floating city.
I love everything about that.
And, I mean, that actually occurred.
They could go anywhere he wanted. Yep. That's really cool. Cool. So what are some other narrative ways that you could introduce piracy or, let's be honest, high seas adventure into your story?
All right. So the first thing, or not the first thing, but one of the things you have to think about is high seas survival.
Okay.
It's going to focus more on the darker, like grimmer, mm-hmm. not even dark, but the grimmer aspects of pirate or life on the ocean.
Like the fact that most of them couldn't swim.
Sure. Being out on the ocean for extended amounts of time, especially in the time periods we're kind of talking about, sucked.
Yeah.
It was not fun.
Sailing at that point in history was dangerous.
It's still dangerous.
It's still dangerous now.
And it was way more dangerous then.
But it was super dangerous back then because you could run out of food.
Mm-hmm.
You could die of exposure. And it could be all in the same day, in fact. You could die. One could die of exposure from the sun, the wind, and the water, and the cold.
Fair.
All at once. So what we're saying with this is if you want to focus on something like that, you want to have that type of campaign, descriptions are key. You know, talk about how the sun beats down on you from above. You know, maybe you're in a doldrum and there's no wind anywhere and you're just sitting there wasting away. You've already eaten the cat and the cat's eaten all the rats. There's nothing else. The rum's all gone.
Yeah. Talk about scurvy.
You're looking at the deckhand there and you're thinking, well, he might go first. We'll be cooking him up tonight. You know?
Yeah.
Having those very difficult moral quandaries. Matt's got nothing on that.
Oh, no. I'm just thinking to myself, I'm going to make some preemptive sacrifices.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to worry about choosing me if there's fresh meat already in the offering.
There you go. Sometimes you got to make those decisions.
Yep.
Another option that you can have in terms of a high seas adventure is aquatic horror.
Absolutely.
Enough said right there. Something lurks beneath the waves and you guys are screwed.
And you could even do that in two directions, right? Either in a monster hunter sort of methodology.
Absolutely.
Or in a sailor's hunted sort of methodology.
they become the hunters become the hunted, much like Jaws. But think of all of the games that have something that lurks beneath the waves. Obviously D&D, but you could do this on a cyberpunk Shadowrun campaign. Imagine being out there and there's a waking critter that just pops out of the water.
Yep. Run a Call of Cthulhu game out on the water.
Cthulhu rises from the depths or something close by.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lots of fun with that.
There's a couple of cultists on the ship that you're on and they're steadily just trying to get things aboard.
Those nasty cultists always trying to get some kind of fish creature with tentacle horrors into your life.
Lamprey mouths.
They've always got pamphlets. That was messing with you. Come on, man. Just leave it alone.
Have you read this book on weird geometry?
Yeah. I got the sacred geometry. It's skewed. Look at it. It'll make you go mad. You can be one of us. So aquatic horror is a lot of fun. And by the way, these elements and thematics aren't necessarily in and of themselves. You can mix and match.
And should to
you
some
You want
to
have a little whimsy swashbuckling action and some aquatic horror thrown in and some grimdark thrown in as well? Go for it.
Absolutely.
You want to start small with aquatic horror? You can do that as well. So you can ease yourself in. You could go directly into a campaign. These are just options that you have available. And there's a lot of options available.
A lot.
A lot. All right. We're going to get a little bit more into some story and narrative options, but we'll be right back.
After these messages.
If there are any topics you would like us to cover, goods or services you would like us to review, or if you would like to sponsor an episode, we would love for you to contact us at info@goblinscorner.com. See you there.
And we're back.
Welcome back.
So we're talking high seas adventure here.
Indeed.
Our death on the open waves. And obviously a lot about piracy. But we were last speaking about some aquatic horrors.
Sure.
And that's obviously one narrative option to run a campaign, as well as, of course, easing your characters in from an existing campaign or just going full grimdark if you wanted to. But let's talk a little bit about my personal favorite, which
your
is
second personal favorite.
My second personal favorite? Okay, that's true. My second personal favorite, which is what I like to call swashbuckling whimsy. Now, we're more Pirates and Penzance than, say, actual pirates
right.
in this case, because it's, you know, this is more of the lighthearted adventure of piracy.
Yeah, this is not Black Sails.
Yes, absolutely. It's not a Black Sails episode. This is more of just like, you know, they're singing and dancing and there's some stuff going on. They just happen to be...
I've got a jar of dirt.
Yeah, there's people of ill fortune, perhaps. But maybe not even that. Maybe you just want to have a little fun on the open waves. So less focus on the darker stuff, more focus on the swashing of buckles.
Yes.
What are some elements in this aside from just whimsy?
You focus on the action and the comedy.
Yes.
And the combination of the two.
So a little column A, a little column B, have a lot of action, have a lot of comedy. This is one of those things to get new players into because it's easy. It's a lot of fun. They'll be talking about it for years.
Sure. And this style of game, whether it's a one-shot or whether it's a whole campaign, is perfect for those of you who have a large percentage of murder hobos.
Oh yeah. If you want to go murder hoboing, this is great.
Then how do you beat pirates? They're literally murder hobos.
Yeah. Because the other narrative elements to get people into a campaign like this are definitely more on role-playing heavy side. So
sure.
Aquatic horror, that can be a little bit of both. You can actually add some of this into that as well. The easing in, you're already in a campaign, so you're already invested into it.
Right.
And then, of course, the grimdark stuff. I mean, you really got to have that session zero and really talk to people about that. But with swashbuckling whimsy, it's like, you guys want to do some Pirates and Penzance kind of campaign? And everyone's like, fuck yeah, I do. Like, who wouldn't?
Right.
Let's be some pirates. Sing and dance, right? We're going to take people to their gold. Like Robin Hood. Like
sure.
But more cartoon Robin Hood with the fox.
Right.
So that's kind of where...
with the bard.
Absolutely. Yeah. So have fun with this one. This, again, great for new beginners. If you want to just jump in. And honestly, great for comic relief. You got a real serious campaign. This is a perfect interlude.
Yeah, do a one shot, two shot, just to...
Even in the campaign you're existing in.
Sure.
It's a great way to ease them in. You know what? You've had a really like drama heavy campaign so far. You've beaten the big bad, or maybe you've come to a nice decision point in your storyline and they hop to the next city and they're crossing maybe say an open sea. Have a little whimsy thrown in with this, guys.
Absolutely. It's a couple of week pleasure cruise that just happens to have some action in it, right?
100%. Some sea monsters, just a turtle playing a banjo or something. Who knows? It could be anything. Slots. It might be slots. I like slots.
I'm aware.
I know. And so have fun with that. What else do we have, Matt?
Your favorite.
The pirate campaign?
Yeah.
That we've been talking about all episode?
Yes.
Yes. So what's the difference between swashbuckling whimsy versus a pirate?
Swashbuckling whimsy is the... giggles, the right, you just, it's very lighthearted. A an actual pirate crew campaign or set of stories, you're going to have reputation. You're going to have repercussions. It's not hee hee wee, let's swing from the rigging. There's a chandelier on the boat. Why not? Yeah, we're gonna
have a chandelier on a boat now. I think that's great. A beholder and a chandelier.
But in addition to
the beholder's piloting, guys.
Sure.
He's the navigator. Think about it.
Flight of the Navigator.
Oh God! Yes. It's just
an eye stalk.
Yes, it's just an eye stalk. It's not the whole beholder. It's just an intelligent eye stalk. We've just come up with a new monster. We need to write that down because we're going to forget.
The navigating beholder.
The navigator. The navaholder.
Well, no, right? It's just the navigator. There's a spectator.
Mm-hmm.
There's a gazer.
Mm-hmm.
There's a navigator.
Why not? There you go.
You're welcome.
Yeah. So we've got. It can be many different elements, but the biggest important element of a pirate campaign versus anything else is that they're criminals.
Yeah.
Whether it's employed or otherwise.
Sure.
Now, if you guys listen to criminal organizations, throw all of those elements into that, stick it on the open water, you've got yourself a pirate campaign.
100%. One of the things you also get to think about is governments hate pirates.
That's true.
It's a known, right?
But unless they're employing them.
I was going to say, but do you know what governments hate more than pirates? Privateers.
Yes.
Because a pirate is unscrupulous. They'll attack anyone. But a privateer attacks specifically you.
That they've been employed to attack.
Right. Because an English pirate does not attack English ships. A French pirate does not attack French ships.
That's true.
And so,
in a role-playing game.
Right.
This might be
Gilder and Florin.
Sure. Or it could be anybody, really. Pirate ship revenge.
Exactly.
Yeah. If you ever considered piracy, you'd make a great Dread Pirate Roberts. So think about like how piracy plays in your campaign world, first off, and then you can adapt that to if your characters or your players want to play characters in a pirate campaign.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun. Easy to do, too.
And then you can also, in a huge aquatic expanse, have an aquatic adventure.
Mm-hmm. So this is just what I consider to be the most basic of them is just having a standard game, your normal game, but have it on the open water. So it focuses less on life on the water and more as the water as an environmental obstacle. So you're going to have a little bit of all of these different elements that we mentioned before in this for an aquatic adventure. So a little grimdark, a little bit of, you know, potentially diving, scurvy, maybe a little whimsy if you're having fun.
Sure.
But it's more of like a background theme into your game.
Right. And you can always take some dips into actual aquatic environments.
Sure. You could make war with the sea elves because, you know, fuck those sea elves.
Or, you know, that's the Hogwunt or the Kuotoa.
Yeah, well, those guys too. I mean, but they never did anything to me. CLs, though. Always rubbed me the wrong way.
Sure.
And underwater adventure doesn't necessarily have to mean on the open ocean either. You could be in the Underdark on one of the Underdark seas and have a aquatic adventure.
Sure. In fact,
you could have a high seas adventure in the Underdark. Think about that, guys.
You could.
That would be fun.
It's just you have to provide your own mode of transportation.
And your own light source if you don't see in the dark, which would suck.
It also makes you a very obvious target.
Because look, there's a boat.
Yeah, it's a hard knock life out on the Underdark ocean.
It's tough being in the Underdark, man. I'll tell you, we're going to have to do an Underdark episode at some point.
And the odds of crossing an aboleth greatly increase on the Underdark.
Nothing but aboleths and dark eldritch horrors lurking beneath the waves. Sucks.
Every time you pull up your fishing hook, it's just something awful.
So now that you've found some sort of narrative element to go with, and it could be, again, a combination of these, we've got a couple of themes that we would like to offer. And again, you can mix and match these themes as well. But these are some common themes that high seas adventures typically have.
Right. So you're either starting off with travel,
mm-hmm.
exploration,
mm-hmm.
or discovery.
Yeah. Because you're gonna find something, you're going to go someplace, or you're going to get into some kind of trouble.
Right.
Straight up. Those are the easiest three that you can interject into any campaign. Doesn't matter what game you're playing. Those are easy. Other common themes are weather, because there's always weather on the high seas. Could be no weather at all, which sucks.
Yeah.
Could be tornadoes and hurricanes and such, which also suck.
Water spouts,
yeah. Just water tornadoes.
Yeah.
And why does it have to just be that? You're in a fantasy campaign? Could be a tornado full of lightning. Just like an elemental lightning NATO. A lightning NATO. They've got fire NATOs. I want lightning NATOs.
So that actually can occur, but usually occurs during a volcanic eruption.
Oh. So you could have an undersea volcano shooting because a lightning NATO.
The extra particulate in the air creates more static, which increases the charge faster.
That would be awesome and terrifying at the same time.
And it's also, have you ever seen volcanic lightning?
No, I can't say that I've seen volcanic lightning.
It usually comes in colors that are fantastic, i.e. colors you would expect from a fantasy, not in our wonderful real world.
Isn't nature grand, guys?
Freaking purple and blood red lightning and
stuff.
Yeah,
absolutely. It comes like a Last Avatar cartoon.
Sure.
Just flinging all kinds of colored lightning and stuff. There's some dude, he's firebending over there. Perfect. So, yeah, play with the weather. Yeah. Now, what are some other themes, Matt? We've got plenty.
You got whimsy.
Whimsy is always one I would go to in a heartbeat.
Sure. As you have stated here, the fickle touch of fate guides the wind.
Aye, lads, let us sail on until we find something interesting to destroy or steal.
Where here it says whimsy, like I got a picture of three mermaids that are like World War II style singers.
Okay.
Like the Andrew Sisters or whatever.
I'm buying what you're selling here.
Just out on a rock.
Sure, why not? Yeah, that sounds great, man. You can also do superstition as a theme, which is fun.
And you should. And
particularly on certain ships or even specific NPCs or individuals. Like there's that superstition of the ocean. You're talking about mermaids and stuff. That's a perfect example of that. You might be playing a game that doesn't have mermaids.
Right.
Or maybe some of the superstitions are superstitions because they're real.
I was going to say, or if you're in a world that doesn't have mermaids, that doesn't mean that somebody on the ship doesn't believe.
True. And what happens when it becomes real? It's a fun theme to explore.
And the thing about superstitions is you've got a couple of different types, right? You've got general superstitions. You might have superstitions that are particular to a specific ship.
And then super duperstitions.
Right. Which is that the individual, like that guy who's like, I'm telling you, mermaids exist.
There's one right over there.
It was manatees, man. Mermaids, I'm telling
you. It's a mermaid. She had delightful whiskers. I kissed her on the mouth.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it could be what it is. Politics and trade, oceanic politics and trade. Let's talk a little bit about that, Matt.
All right, so oceanic politics, depending on the game you're playing, right, is everything from nation to nation, what flags you're flying, and all of that. But it will also include things like what waters don't you go into because these are specific waters to a Sahagwin nation, or these are sea elven waters, and you have to do X, Y, and Z to be allowed entrance and free passage and stuff like that.
So if you're playing a diplomancing campaign, this would be kind of a fun dip, pardon the pun, into uncharted political waters.
You're just killing the puns.
I'm just rocking them out tonight. But that's you know, exploring different nations on the ocean, especially in a fantasy campaign or even a sci-fi campaign. Let's say you got some aliens live underwater, right?
Yeah,
totally doable.
Misa, look through the water.
Oh, don't talk about Jar Jar. Fuck that guy. So it's a lot of fun to explore, to play. So this is a fun topic to explore because the politics of an underwater nation have always intrigued me. And what I mean by that is so let's say you're a bunch of Sohagin, you know, just doing your average fish thing,
right?
You got a fish nation, you know, you're making war with the sea elves like you should.
Sure.
You know, you're trying to fight back some, you know, krakens and such. Maybe there's some, what is it? There's those evil manta rays, the Ixtzel or whatever.
Ixtzel.
Yeah. You can pronounce that better than me, but you're fighting those things back.
That's a strong assumption.
Who knows? Who knows what the hell it's pronounced as? I've just basically assumed it's something like that. But you're an average fish guy, right? Doing fish things. What is your day job? What do they do? Do they watch TV? Who knows? They have 3.5, 2.5, you know, fish children, offspring. Do they hate the sea elves because the sea elves have taken all their jobs? What do they, you know, what is their motivation is what I'm getting at.
No, I get it.
Because you're sailing on a boat and, you know, fish people look up and they're like, oh, look at that. So Hagen's like, why are you rolling up into my turf? Maybe there's a reason for that. Maybe the fishermen have all fished your people.
I mean, that is definitely an option. The other thing is they do eat meat. If the fishermen have overfished the waters,
maybe they're hungry.
They have every reason to hate you.
Sure.
Also, there's just the simple fact of in the real world, if you cross into another nation's borders, they're going to want to know why you're there.
What are you doing rolling up in our waters?
Right. And it's the same thing. They just happen to live underwater.
Mm-hmm. Maybe they have specific skills that you don't know about. And they should, by the way. And this is what we're getting at is like, if you're going to have Sahagin or sea elves or whatever, make them interesting culturally as well.
Yes.
Because if you're going to have an underwater adventure, give them a Denny's. Give them, you know what I mean? Like, make a way for them to craft weapons and have some kind of technology. And what would that technology be like?
And art.
And art, certainly. Yeah. If they're going to be cultural, give them some culture, right? Give them some songs.
Right.
Put that down. So, something to think about. Speaking of things like that, wonder is a great theme to explore. It's the wonder of creatures, magic, technology, the amazing phenomena of the world.
Yeah. Imagine being the first people from your area, not necessarily the first people ever, although possibly, but the first people from your area that got to see the Northern Lights. Imagine the first people ever seeing a bioluminescent plankton bloom.
Right? That would be like magic.
Absolutely.
And in your campaign, describe that magic, that wonder.
A bioluminescent jellyfish swarm.
Sure.
There's so many. The world is freaking gorgeous. The world is amazing. It's terrifying also, but it's amazing.
It's mostly out to kill you, but it's beautiful. It's gonna stab you in the back one night, drag you off into a dark corner and devour you, but it's wondrous.
But it wants you to enjoy the short time you're here.
Look how beautiful it is so that it can kill you. But yeah, describe these wonders. And that's a fun theme to explore just in any campaign.
Yeah.
If you could make your characters walk out of that game session going, wow, that was really beautiful. That's a really awesome feeling. Make them feel something.
Yeah.
You can also do stuff where you can up the stakes. That's a great theme, right? So pass, fail, life and death, right?
Well, I mean, that's one of the things is slightly less so in modern times, but certainly in the times of wooden boats and ships, what have you, most significant challenges were pass, fail. You lived or you died.
Yep.
There weren't, you're 1,000 miles away from land. There's not a lot of, somebody's going to come by in the next day or so and save me.
AAA is not there to pick you up if you wreck your boat, man.
You're going to die.
You're going to die.
And so that's, the stakes are much higher, and that's something you should not necessarily enforce, but it's a concept you should lean on.
It's a good lever to get things moving along. Other concepts that we can explore as well, concept of supplies, just like limited supplies, or morale is another good stake that you can lean on as well. What happens when decisions were made by the captain? Not everybody agrees. Maybe they toss his ass overboard and go back home.
Yeah. Or even balancing morale with supplies.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, we hit the doldrums for a couple of days. We're running low on supplies, but the men are freaking hungry. Like, what do you do? You have to find the balance there.
So that goes into intrigue. So you could have an intrigue campaign or, diplomacy.
Sure.
So that's a lot of fun options to explore.
Or even just problem solving.
Just problem solving, yeah.
Oh, you're hungry? Let's go fishing.
Speaking of things that are hungry, here be monsters. That's what a great... I mean, obviously, you want to do some swashbuckling? You want to fight and go into some high seas adventure? Throw a monster in there.
Yeah.
There's the Kraken right there.
Sea serpents.
Sea Kraken. Serpents, dragons.
And also...
storm giants.
Something I would like people to consider. The ocean is another great place to make shit up.
Yeah.
Just make something terrifying comes crawling out of the way.
Just describe it. Don't tell your players what it actually is.
And if you don't feel comfortable making something up, here's what you do. You take a monster that exists, you write a brand new description for it, and you use the stats for that monster. Just reskin it.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter. What you want is for your players to experience something that is completely foreign to them.
A flumph that's an island. It's the island of cute. What?
We're going to have to talk about your flumph addiction one of these days.
It's going to be great. I just want to hug the whole island. It'd be delightful. Like a big marshmallow. And finally, you can do treasure. It's the hunt, the search for more money.
Yeah.
That's all you got to do. You're on the high seas. The theme of we are acquiring cash money, either forcefully or legitimately. Preferably forcefully. Arr. Rum and seawater. It's time to take people's gold. So those are a couple of thematics that we have given you. And again, not an exhaustive list, but a lot of fun.
Right. So what we're going to do now is we're going to talk about story options. And these could either be options to put into your story or options for entire stories.
Yep. So we've come up with just a small list, but we find these most delightful. And what is the first most delightful list item that we have?
I was about to say, so tell me, Eric, what's at the top of our list?
Well, we might enjoy a little bit about having a pirate campaign. So pirates is the first story option, obviously.
Sure.
And that's it. You're a bunch of pirates.
Right.
How are you pirates? Did you come across this legitimately? I.e. being a...
Is episode one you stealing the ship?
Or are you a privateer?
Sure, you've got a letter of mark.
Yeah, maybe you start off with a letter of mark and a small dinghy, or like that would be awesome to start off with a small ship.
Or, you know, if you start your characters not at first level, right, you literally are approached. Your characters are based out of a port city, and because they're heroes of this particular area, your dockmaster might be legally allowed to write letters of mark. So he rolls up to your party and he's just like, so guys,
we've got this problem with this neighboring city that we just need you to start stealing their stuff.
Yeah.
Causing trouble.
Any ship that flies a flag that looks like this is fair game. It is a monster. Mm-hmm. I'm going to put it in terms heroes can understand.
And
that ship is a monster and it has loot.
Yeah. It's got delicious loot that you can use to upgrade your own loot. Alternatively, you can hunt pirates. Lots of fun as well.
Yeah.
And that's simple as that. Those are really two easy story options. Now, for a different spin on things, you could be
merchant guards.
So you could be guarding against pirates.
Sure.
Which is also a lot of fun.
And then you get to be... So here's a question. Here's something that I struggle with as far as like the actual legalities and the history goes, right?
Can you be a pirate to pirates?
Right. So if a pirate attacks you and you disable their ship
and you steal all their stuff.
Right.
Does that make you a pirate?
It's wasteful to not take everything on their boat.
Is that considered reverse piracy? Somebody on the internet let
us know. It's counter piracy.
Counter piracy. Yeah.
There we go. Yeah.
Yeah. I like that term.
And I think that makes it legal. There you go. It's counter piracy.
So there you go. You could be a counter pirate. What else can they do, Matt?
You could set up a simple side quest by having the players find a treasure map.
Bam. You're in a dungeon, find a treasure map. There you go.
Boom.
Off into high seas adventure right there. And little did they know that would be the rest of the campaign because they decided to take the ship.
That actually would be a fun way to start a completely oceanic campaign is start a game like a normal game, right? Yeah, no, you're in a dungeon. Oh, you beat the dungeon.
There's a treasure map.
There's a treasure map.
It's got a coordinate on it. And that becomes the pirate adventure right there.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then from there on out,
they're just wrecking the seven seas.
Yeah.
Be great. Here's a kind of a story option. A group of retired monster hunters decides to hire the group to seek the one that got away. So maybe group of ex-adventurers past their prime. They're no longer, they're missing too many arms and legs.
Or they're just tired.
If they're just tired, maybe they own that bar because that's what all ex-adventurers do is they become bartenders at the end of the day.
Or they go on to teach at mage academies or bard colleges.
Yeah, fair enough. But they either become drunks or teachers.
Yeah.
Sometimes both. But they hire your party to go find that monster they couldn't find.
Moby Dick.
Yeah.
Also, what if you actually ran a campaign based on one of the pillars of D&D that is in combat?
Which is?
What if they're just explorers?
Mm-hmm. Backed by their governments, perhaps?
Yeah.
Or backed by merchants?
Sure.
Or even...
backed by themselves?
Yeah.
If they're far enough along, or, maybe one of your characters has the noble background or whatever, and he's the guy that's going out and he's going to explore the whole world.
Mm-hmm. So that'd be a fun campaign to just explore the rest of the world.
Sure.
Maybe it's a new world that you've made and they only know a small part of it. Having a high seas adventure is a wonderful option to explore the rest of that world.
And it's actually a great way for your players to help invent the world with you.
100%. You could also have ancient ruins discovered in a far off land, maybe have it somehow tied to a player character.
Yeah.
Now that's a fun way to either start a campaign or take a kind of a 90-degree angle in the middle of a campaign and interject that high seas adventure because it's like, oh, wait, I've got an unknown legacy from these ruins and it's in a far-off land. Well, it's time to hit the high seas.
Absolutely.
Time to go on an adventure.
If I'm playing a character and news has come back to our country that the house that I'm from or the house that I support, whatever, right? Their heraldry was found in a far off land with our style architecture and everything. I'm going to be super curious.
Yeah. You're going to want to go explore that continent.
I'm going to
find out what's going on.
Yeah. I'm going to want to know.
Yeah. A little mystery diving.
Maybe the players have to sail to the edge of the world where the gods live.
Yeah.
And the
dead dwell. So that's a fun campaign idea. Maybe you're in your mythology, the gods live on the edge of the world. Fall off the edge of the world, you're in the respective heavens or hells.
Sure.
And maybe one of your NPCs or one of the characters have died, and you've got to sail, go rescue that person back from the underworld.
Your world could even be a spherical world, right? But the literal pantheons live on another continent. Like, they are actually huge godly beings that just happen to live across the pond.
So instead of living up on top of the mountain like Olympus, they just happen to live in another continent.
Sure.
That's the Isle of Gods.
Yep.
That'd be kind of fun. A player receives a vision of a place beyond the explored horizon. What an easy way to interject a high seas adventure into any campaign.
Yeah.
Had a dream or a vision. Or sniff the mystic vapors or whatnot.
Sure. Huffing that volcano juice,
Huffing
man.
That volcano juice gets it every time.
So maybe the players have to find a storm giant and solve a particularly puzzling riddle.
Mm-hmm. You've got the riddle of the Sphinx. Instead, it's the riddle of the storm giant.
Sure.
A lot of fun there. This could be one leg on a journey of an ongoing trip.
Yeah, simple as that, right? Take a look at Europe. If you wanted to go from Europe to Africa,
mm-hmm.
you could either go a very long way around or take a couple day cruise across the Mediterranean.
Now, you could sink beneath the waves and die a horrible death, but that's what you got to do.
Right. You know, fight the Barbary pirates, what have you.
Hey, whatever works. The characters could be shipwrecked.
Sure.
And that's, by the way, a great way to just start a campaign.
Yep. You're shipwrecked.
Oh, now, they'd be you definitely want to session zero that, because they're going to be pissed if they add all their loot and stuff like that for a first level character, and then like, wait a minute, I don't have any of my stuff?
Oh, no, you have your stuff.
It's just all over the island?
Yeah. No, the ship literally wrecks entirely into the island.
Oh, I see. Okay, so you could still keep your stuff.
It was night, it was stormy, and you're in uncharted waters. You just hit a freaking island.
Yeah.
It happened.
Now you're on an island. What's going to happen? Who knows? Fantasy Island, guys. Could happen.
Little Swiss Family Robinson action.
Swiss Family Mage Robinson. Casting fireballs and such. Could be all kinds of stuff. What else we got, Matt?
I really want to play a campaign where you start off in an uninhabited world or an uninhabited island, something like that. Seems like fun. All right, so maybe the character stow away on a ship to an uncharted land.
Ooh.
Yeah,
they just jump ship because they couldn't pay their passage. Now they're in an unknown world.
That's a great low-level starter, because if you're 10th level, why would you stow away?
Because they're cheap.
Even then.
If you're 10th level, you can teleport.
Exactly.
Or do some, or at least, you know, murder somebody for a boat.
Right. But at first level, get a group of urchins or something like that, that are just like, screw it, we're done with this place. Let's go see the new world.
Yep. Players have inherited an ongoing ocean vessel and its debts from a recently deceased relative. So get a call, you're in Port City, come down to the Port City, you got a boat, all its problems as well. Maybe even its crew.
Sure.
And now they go, well, Captain, you're now our captain. And how are you going to deal with that? Maybe you've never been on a boat and your character's never been on a boat in their life. And now they got to deal with that. What's going to happen with that? It's going to be fun.
Absolutely. Players venture into the depths to solve the mystery of the drowned paladin.
That's right. Why did that paladin drown? You know I had to throw that
plate
in there.
Mail. That's why he drowned. That
plate mail every
mystery
time.
Mystery solved.
We got to get boy in armor, guys. It's, you know, some water wings or something. And finally.
Little Pallywood floaties.
Yeah, I love that. And finally, a storm approaches, and with it, an ancient beast of legend. Dare the players venture into the black waters and save the town? Mm-hmm. The answer is yes, they do. That's how the story starts.
Otherwise, the town destroyed.
Yeah. Well, then we deal with some repercussions of that, and that's also another fun story.
That sounds like somebody else's problem.
That's true.
Because I'm moving to another country.
So there you have it. Fun story options, some themes, and ways to interject high seas adventure into your campaign. Did we miss something?
Certainly.
Right. Yeah. We totally missed many things. Write to us, info@goblinscorner.com, or you can reach me, eric@goblinscorner.com, or
me, matt@goblinscorner.com.
Yar, we be on all the things. Tell us some of the things we be on.
We're on Twitter, Facebook, Pinterest, YouTube, and Twitch.
As Goblins Corner.
And Instagram.
As The Goblins Corner. Did you like the show? Subscribe to the podcast on your favorite player, YouTube, or Twitch.
And if you guys could do us a favor and click 5 stars, give us some reviews on iTunes, YouTube, Podchaser, everything. Click everything, review everything. We'd really appreciate it.
Yar, be spreading out our piracy message forever to the rest of the world, lest we be sinking ye to Davy Jones' locker.
Sure. Yeah, that.
Now that works too. Yeah. All right. That's all the time we have for tonight. Once again, my name is Eric.
And I'm Matt.
We'll see you next time.
Have a good night, folks.
Yar. We'll be right back.
The Goblin's Corner is written and produced by Eric Holden and Matt Staples.
Show song by the Mighty D20.
What a wonderful guy.
This is a Subterranean production.
The end.